Start with saying that I've been inspired by this theme from Spring Harvest. So we went with the family to Spring Harvest this year, which is a big kind of Christian gathering, somewhere between a festival and a conference if you haven't been. It's at Butlins in Minehead. And this is the second year, and again, it was really great. And the theme was this theme that we've been talking about, the love your God with all your heart and soul and strength. So a lot of what I'm going to be talking about was kind of inspired by Spring Harvest, just to give them a bit of credit. So to give you a bit of a roadmap, today I'm going to talk through the passage that we had from Deuteronomy and hopefully bring it to life a bit, and also to explain how something that is so old can still be relevant to us today. I'll touch a little bit on what they meant by heart and soul and strength, and how we can hear this and not just hear it, like we said in the All Age talk, actually take it on board so that it makes a difference to our life. And really talking about three ways that might happen in our upward devotion to God, in our inward devotion to ourselves and our, you know, loving God in our private life, and also in our personal public life out in whatever we do in the world. So the first part of the reading was that very famous prayer called the Shema. It has, the whole prayer has sections, that section from Deuteronomy and also some sections from Leviticus. And the first bit is the Hear, O Israel, that we heard in the reading. And I feel a bit like a media promoter this morning, because as well as connections, I also wanted to mention a TV programme called The Chosen. Has anyone watched The Chosen, heard of it? Yeah, quite a few, brilliant. Well, I can really recommend it. For anyone who hasn't heard of it, it's a historical drama set in first century Judea and Galilee, and it portrays Jesus' life through the eyes, really, of the disciples, of the people who knew him best. And it focuses on their stories and their experience of living with Jesus. So I've got a short clip from The Chosen in which Jesus, so the man in it is Jesus, he asked some children to recite the Shema, and it's got a little bit of information about that. So if we could play that now, please.
I love how Yeshua Jesus, in this episode of The Chosen, recites the Shema with all the children. But what is the Shema?
So tell me. Do you all know how to pray the Shema?
Yes.
Oh, I would love to hear it. You lead us.
Hear, Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And it shall come to pass if you surely listen to the commandments I command you today.
Beautiful. Very good.
The Shema comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Shema is one of the most central prayers that Jews recite and gives us the primary understanding of who God is. In fact, the Shema is the first prayer that every child learns. It's one of the first prayers upon arising, one of the last prayers said before going to bed in the evening. That's how significant the Shema really is.
Great. Yeah. So as it says, observant Jews consider the Shema to be the most important part of their prayers. It's traditionally cited every morning and every evening and before bed. At the end of Yom Kippur, which is their Day of Atonement, one of the holiest days in the Jewish calendar. And it's traditionally the last words that a Jewish person says before they die. So it's kind of pretty important for them. So you might be thinking, well, that's great for Jewish people, but, you know, I'm not Jewish. Why does this matter to me? So firstly, Jesus, as we saw in that clip, Jesus was Jewish and he would have known the Shema. It seemed quite emotional for him when the children were reciting it. He would have recited it every morning and evening. So I think just for that reason that we can say the same words that he did is pretty amazing. But more importantly, Can we get up the first slide, please? When Jesus was asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? So someone directly asked him, what's the most important thing to you? And he replied, if we go to the next slide, he replied with this reply, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. And then he recites the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and with all your strength. And then next slide, please. He said, and the second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So Jesus recited this as the most important thing, the two things, love God and love other people. So I think if he was concentrating on this as the most important thing, it's worth spending time on. So as a bit of aside, another thing that I really love about this is that the connection it shows between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because maybe like some people here, you think, in the past I thought I'm a bit kind of scared about the Old Testament. It's got some strange things in. And when people say, I love the Old Testament and it's all one unified story, I've thought, really? Been a bit doubtful about that. But actually, the more I learn, the more I see this is the case. There are so many connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Like this, a good example of where Jesus directly references passages from the Old Testament as being of ultimate importance. And, of course there are differences. When Jesus came, he brought with him a whole new way for us to relate to God. But there's also some central things that remain, like this commandment to love God with all our heart and soul and strength. And that matters to us now just the same way as it mattered to the Israelites when Moses was addressing them in the desert during the time of Deuteronomy. So let's dive into the passage a little bit. If we can go on to the next slide, please. As we've already said, the first word is Hear, O Israel, and that's the word Shema in Hebrew. So it means hear and also... Okay, yes, well done. So that's the first bit. I think we've gone over that in the All Age Talk. So the next bit, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. Why are these different things picked? And what do they mean? What did they mean then? So I think in modern day thinking, we often separate the heart as where our feelings are, from our soul, which is maybe a little bit airy-fairy, we're not sure about that. From our strength, which is in our body, is our physical agency to go out and do things. But Hebrew thought was a bit more unified and a little bit different from that. The heart, in when this was written, would have been understood as the centre of who we are and the place of intent and thinking and purpose, a little bit more like our brain as well. The soul was who we are as a human, our body and our personhood and our vitality. And strength wasn't just physical strength, it was more of our sort of exertion and commitment, our direction of travel, what makes us who we are. So I think the take-home message is that with all your heart and soul and strength, basically means with your whole self, with you in your entirety, as a living, breathing, decision-making, feeling, thinking person, your whole being. So how do we obey that? I mean, it's quite a big thing, isn't it, to love the Lord with all your whole self. So if we go on to the next slide, please. Luckily, there's some pointers. It goes on to say, the commandments I give you today to be on your hearts, impress them on your children, talk about them when you sit at home and walk along the road and when you get up and lie down. So the first bit's about talking. It's about sharing our faith and our belief, being open with the way we understand the Bible and our relationship with God in various different settings. So it talks about sitting at home. So that's when we're in our most unguarded state, when we can be ourselves, by ourselves, or just with close family. And I think this is about having quiet time with God, about talking to him in prayer, and just talking to him, being open in our family about God and about our experiences. Maybe saying grace, just really trying to do things that bring God into our homes. And, we're not brilliant at saying grace in the week. We often don't all eat together, but we do try and say grace if we're having a nice meal at the weekend as a family. I think that kind of thing, just trying to express in whatever way you want, trying to talk about God at home is a great thing to do. And you may have been into certain homes that just feel very peaceful or friendly, and I think that could be because faith is expressed and lived out in those homes as much as church. I think David and Fee's house is an example for me of that. When faith doesn't remain in the privacy of someone's head, it's normalized and it just becomes a part of the atmosphere. The next bit is walking along the road, and that's a great phrase that sums up our daily activity, whether that's going to work or shopping or going to the cafe or going out with a dog. Rather than just being for Sundays, it's a reminder to take God into our everyday lives, whatever that looks like, and talk about him to the people we meet. And then the lying down and rising up, lying down and getting up, emphasizes time and routine. So it's like Jewish people, when they say the Shema morning and evening, there's quite a routine to that. We don't tend to have that so much as a rule in Christianity, but I think it's good for us to try and find a routine of time when we can be with God. And honestly, I'm talking to myself as much here as anyone else, because I know it's difficult. For me at the moment, I'm doing a theology course one day a week, so that really helps to have one day when I know I can talk about my faith. And I try and read the Bible in the morning when I wake up, but not always that consistently, especially since we got a puppy. So there's other priorities sometimes. But I think it's just really thinking about how we can talk about our faith in all the different areas of our lives. I mean, I know it can be awkward to start talking about faith to people, especially people we don't know very well or we think might be hostile. But I think one thing I've tried to do in recent years is just drop into conversation that I go to church. That seems like quite an easy way to mention it. People say, what are you up to this weekend? I might say, blah, blah, blah on Saturday, and then going to church on Sunday, and then, whatever. And I've never had a hostile reaction to that. People might ignore it, or sometimes they ask me about it. But I think it just lodges as a kind of idea, which I think is a good thing to have people know that you're a Christian and that's something they can talk to you about if they want to. But the passage has some things as well as talking. If we go on to the next slide, it says that we should tie them, so them is these commandments to love the Lord with all our heart and soul and strength, tie them as symbols on our hands and bind them on our foreheads. So our hands are how we do things, whether manual work or professional work, cooking, cleaning, caring for others, our hands are very central to what we do. So I think the idea with this is if you tie something to your hands, you notice it, you can't really get away, whatever you're doing, it's just there. And then binding it on your forehead. I mean, our forehead is where our brains sit and our thoughts and reactions go through there. So I think, again, it's that everything we do should be filtered through this love for God that we have. And if you had something on your forehead, you'd be able to see it actually when you were looking. So I guess it's again that God's word should be between us when whatever we're looking at is going out into the world, and filter our thoughts through that scripture. And if you can do the next slide, please. I don't know if you've seen any very traditional people, Jewish people, they have a lot of clothing with religious symbolism, including actually they do wear little boxes with the scripture in on their foreheads and hands. He's got it on his arm, I think, the other little boxes with the scripture in. Actually people do take this very literally. So I thought maybe today we could go one better. I've managed to borrow a tattooing kit from a friend. I'm going to be doing tattoos at the end of the service, and you have to go out another way if you don't want to get one. So you can choose what you want. It can just be a little heart if you want something subtle, or no, obviously I'm joking, just to keep everyone awake. But we take these more metaphorically nowadays. But actually, I think the idea is that if we, it should be that kind of obvious that we bound something to us, that these commandments are really kind of part of our life. So if you can just go back a slide, please. Sorry, it's a bit complicated. So then the bottom, this is the last bit. The next thing it says is write them, so this is again the commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength, on the door frame of your houses and on your gates. So the door frame represents our homes, where we live, maybe with family or maybe alone. And a bit like the when you sit at home bit that we talked about, it's saying that we need to think of our love for God when we're at home by ourselves or when we welcome people to our homes. And this represents really our love for God in our private lives. And then our gates are where we connect with the wider world. So in the Bible, the gates would have been where city decisions were made, where trade happens, that kind of thing. And we tend to go out to work. We don't tend to work at our gatepost. But I think it's this idea that it's our public persona when we're not at home, when we're at work or doing hobbies or here at chapel or out in our communities. Our life should be defined and shaped by a love for God. So it's the mirror to the walking along the road bit. So just to conclude and to draw to a close, this ancient Jewish prayer of the Shema calls us to love the Lord our God with our whole selves. And Jesus reiterated that this is the most important commandment along with loving our neighbour. So if we had to sum up what we need to do as Christians, it would be, you could just say it's love God and love people. Fairly simple, really. And we can think about it in these three different ways, or three different parts of it, to have our outward devotion to God and have our personal, private life being devoted to God in prayer and really taking these things on board. And then our public life also showing the love of God and that to go from us out into the world. So I'm going to finish with a prayer. Lord, help us to focus on loving you with all our heart and soul and strength. Help us to strengthen our upward relationship loving you, our inward relationship to bringing your love into our homes, and our outward relationship with others through our love for you. Reveal to us the areas you want us to work on and help us to improve, to fall ever closer in step with you. Help us to do this with good grace and sensitivity so that our lives become a shining example that people want to follow. Amen.